Today's message will be on God is love. Love is the foundation for everything that we do as Christians. You know, we think everybody knows that, but we really don't. It's amazing how many people don't know that the foundation of everything that we do as Christians is love. Actually, it is the foundation for everything, period. Most people don't know that. This is going to be an awesome study, folks. All through the Word, we see God's loving kindness and tender mercy in action. This whole book is a love letter. The entire book is God speaking to me, speaking to you. It's love from beginning to end. It's the manual on God's heart. That's why this Bible is so awesome. God does not just have love. And most of us say, well, I know God loves. We all know God loves. But he also gets angry. Yes. Well, yes and no. And we'll get into that later on. But God is love. He's the love. He's the noun love. And there's a big difference. He's the only one that qualifies for that. No one qualifies for that statement. God is a love. And that's the title of our message today. Today we'll only be able to do a kind of an overview of our study on an in-depth study of love. This will be ongoing for probably several months to come. Because when you study love, you study God. You study who he is, you study his heart, you study everything about him, you study who we are. So a study on love you never get done with. We will be doing this throughout all of eternity. We'll be studying God's heart. Well, what we're going to do, even an in-depth study on love, we're going to be studying just the basics. That's all we can get to in this lifetime. But when you study love, you study God. Amen. So if we're going to understand love, we're first going to have to understand who he is. And the Bible's very clear on that. The Bible is very clear on who God is. Let's look at 1 John 4:7. Now, we're not going to go through these scriptures right now in detail. We will be doing it later on in the study. Hopefully we'll get to some of it today. But in 1 John 4:7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God." Now that's the Amplified Classic version. But no matter what version you go to, you'll find out that that statement is there. God is love. So many of us get past that word is. We'll read it as God loves. And that's not what it says. It says God is love. We'll get deeper into that scripture later. The next verse says, "For God is love." We'll complete that study on that scripture later. Then again in verse 16, we see the statement again. God is love. So that's three times in the same chapter of the Bible we see that statement. God is love. Now, I'm no English professor. I'm not even an English scholar. I'm not even an English. I barely get by speaking, as you can tell already, probably. But I can understand the word is. I can understand that it's talking about a being. God is love. And it goes to reason, it stands to reason that if God is love, then we know that God loves, right? If you are love, then you're going to love. But we got to qualify that. If God is love, what else can he do? Everything he does has to be love. Because have you ever seen a cat bark? I haven't. Have you ever seen a dog meow? I haven't. Now, because why? It's in their nature to bark. That's their language. That's who they are. And there's certain characteristics that are inherent to that dog being a dog. He does certain things. A cat does certain things. You try to keep a cat off something and you've got a job. It does not stay off of things. It's going to go where it wants to go. Very independent. But they're also quiet. Normally, a dog is not quiet. And they got a mind of their own too, but you can train them to a degree. And that's the difference between a dog and a cat. They eat differently, they do things differently. Well, if God is love, then what can he do? What's his character? Who is he? What does he do? How does he respond to things? Love. Love. That's the only way he can respond, because he is love. Well, Brother Michael, what about the word that says God has wrath? Yes, he does. And we'll get into that later. But God is love, so he responds in love. So when he has wrath or anger, whenever that is, no matter what it is at, it always founded and rooted in love. Because that's all he can do. He is love, the being. So when we read the Bible, when we look from cover to cover at God's characteristics and at the various events in the Bible, we have to filter that through love. Because he responded in love in that area. Now, I will always go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, because people point that out all the time. He wiped out a whole kingdom there. Just wiped it out because of anger. But what was his anger at? His anger was at sin. Things that separated man from God. That's where his anger is always focused. It's always focused on what separates man from God. It's always aimed at the devil and his whatever he's done. It's always aimed at that. It's never aimed at the person. God loves the person. No matter where he's at, no matter what he's done, God loves the person. He hates the sin. God's emotions, he has emotions. And all of those negative emotions, hate and anger, you can search the scriptures and find out what that's aimed at. It's aimed at sin. It's always aimed at sin, not at the person. That's what that cross was all about. Because he loves the person so much, he sent his son to the cross so that there was a way for that person, no matter who he was or who he is or who he will be, there was a door and a way to God's heart for that person. That's the reason for the cross. And that cross didn't just happen. It was in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. That's what the word says. Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. That's God's heart. His heart is for love. That's why man was created. So here in these few verses, and we're going to get into deep in those few verses that we mentioned later on in our study. But for today, this is just kind of an overview of our future messages. But God is love. We need to have that in our heart, in our mind, every moment of our life. Every thought that we think, everything that we pray, every time we read the Bible, we need to have that thought in our mind. But let's go back to verse 17 of 1 John 4, and we scoot down a little bit further in that verse. Well, we talked about John 16 that says God is love, but John 17 has a unique thing that just knocks my head over in the crick every time I read it. In this union and communion with him. Now, who's in union and communion with God? You and I. This believer, this person that has received him as Lord and Savior. This person that has set his love on the Father. That's who's in union. It's God and in union with this man. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because. What's because mean? Because means this is the reason. Because, and here it is, as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
Get a hold of that. Now, I've got about 24, 25 versions of the Bible on my computer that I can click in. I love it. And I can bring them all up at one time and bring a verse all the way across to what it says. That's the same in almost every single version. God is love is the same in almost every single version. So here we see why this study, an in-depth study on love, why it's so important to us. Because not only is God love, we are.
Amen.
Born again or not, you were created by love and for love. no matter who you are. No matter whether Jesus is your Lord or not, you were created by a love being. So what's that make you? When a dog has a puppy, what is the puppy? It's going to be basically the same as whatever those two dogs were. A cat's the same. You're going to have a kitten, same basic colors. It might be mixed up a little bit more, but you're going to have a kitten based on the DNA of their parents. Our children are based on our DNA, which ultimately is God's DNA. Think about that. As He is. And then you're going to have to stop right there. You can study that verse of Scripture for a lifetime and never get the depths of it. You can't get to the depths of that statement that John's making. This John was known as the Apostle of Love, wasn't he? He had a unique relationship with God, with Jesus. A very unique relationship with Jesus. It was deeper, probably, than the other apostles, because even he's just known as the Apostle of Love. Now, Paul has an outstanding revelation on love. You can see it all through his writings. So did the other apostles, Peter, and you can see it in their writings. But John was unique. He was the one that leaned on Jesus during the Last Supper. He had a special relationship. And he's known as the one that God loved, that Jesus loved. So here, in this, we've got to take a moment of time in our lifetime, a moment, and start meditating on love. Love. Who is He? As He is. So then the question is, how is He? You know, is a now word, isn't it? It means right now. Is. Or it can encompass the entire personality of the person. God is love. You need to take those three words and look at them carefully and incorporate that statement into everything you do. Then you take the second part of that, which is vital. As He is, so. So there means the same way. So are, right now, are we in this world? Not gonna be, are. So many of us, we don't know that. We look at it as this is going to happen sometime in the future. No, when He went to the cross and Jesus said, "It is finished," that relationship was brought back together. We see the heart of God. So we're supposed to be in this world right now, walking day by day, moment by moment. We're supposed to be the image and the likeness of God in the earth. We're not God. Never going to be God. But the Bible even teaches in Ephesians that we are the body, singular, of Christ. So if we are the body of Christ, then we are the same as Christ walking through the earth today. Now this takes some thought and meditation, and that's why we need to do an in-depth study on love. If there's ever a time that we need to know this, it's now. Just look around us. The world's crying out for help. Even Christians are worried and full of fear and anger and frustration. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be at rest in Him. And if we understand this, we will start walking moment by moment, day by day, thought by thought, decision by decision, we will start walking as the church is supposed to walk in the earth. We'll be the light in this dark world that we're supposed to be. And we're not going to get there unless we understand who He is and who we are. That's why I call this an in-depth study, because there's no place to stop. I don't know how long this will take. But for the purpose of today, it's an overview. God is love, and as He is, so are we in this world. We'll get into that deeper in the future. Love Himself is the point of origin. What do you mean by that? Well, we're going to get into that too. But if God is love, and He is the Creator, which He is, then who created all things? Love did. Love is the source of everything that is in heaven and on earth. Love is. Any place you put, you see the word God in Scripture, you can put the word love there. Love is. Any place you see the word God, because that's who He is. You're not changing Scripture. You're amplifying it. Love created all things. So love in Himself, the person. Love Himself is the point of origin. The law of love has its point of origin in God Himself at the very beginning of all things. You know, I thought one time, well, everybody says, well, God said light be, and that's creation. Well, yes and no. Where was that thought in that word before He said it? Where are your thoughts before you say them? Think about that. Before God could say, light be, light had to be in His heart. That thought had to be a part of Him before He said it. So what is the real source of creation? Light? Well, that's, in one way it is. That's what was used. The word actually created. But that word that He said, before the word became, the word had to be inside God's heart. It had to be there, or He would have never said it. He just didn't drag that out of the air one day and say, that's a good thing to do. There's light. That's not what He did. It was in His heart before anything existed in heaven or on earth. Creation in time and eternity did not exist before He created it. Heaven is a place, and it was created, the Bible teaches. Everything you see in heaven was created. The only thing that was actually present with God is God Himself, God the Son, Jesus, and the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Those are what, because Jesus is the Word. So it's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all that existed. There wasn't anything else. That's the beginning. And everything. So what was in the beginning? Love. God the Father is love. God the Son Jesus is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. You cannot separate them. And since Jesus is the Word, then the Word is love. Am I getting too deep? I want to take time with this, and we're going to go over it again as we go through these future studies. But we're going to have to get real with this. If we're going to understand who we are and who He is and what our responsibilities are that we're being held responsible for as born-again people, as God's children, we are going to have to understand this. And the church doesn't. It doesn't. The law of love has its point of origin in God Himself at the very beginning of all things. So love is the origin. Why is it important to study it? Because it is. When God said, light be, love said, light be. Love himself walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. I love that image. In the cool of the evening. Here we see, in the very beginning, before the fall, we see the beginning of the manifestation of God's heart. We see what he intended. This earlier I read in verse 17, in this union and communion with him. That's always been God's heart. He's not doing anything else. His entire focus is not creation. His entire focus is the union and communion with man. He's not doing anything else. He hasn't done anything else. All of heaven and all of time and all of creation have us in mind in his heart. That's why he said light be. It's because inside that word light was us. We were there. There's a song when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Well, that goes so much deeper than just that. We've always been on his heart. There's never, even before we existed, we were on his heart, the word says. I mean, it's so important that we understand and study and dig our lives into this love. It will change your marriage. It'll change your life. It'll change your business, your home, your family. It'll remove depression and fear and worry out of your life. It won't even be there if you take the time to study and to get into the heart of God and who we are. In this love book contains everything. Hallelujah. So love himself walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. What did they talk about? I don't know. But it was good. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to put his arm around Michael. And say, Michael, guess what? I love you, son. You know, and just walk on down through there. And I can say the same thing. Oh, Father, I love you. That's what he wants. That's so beautiful in his ears to have his children say, I love you. I love you. I love you. That's such an awesome thing. Have you ever just taken the time to say that to God? When it's just you and him? Oh, Lord, I love you. I trust you. What an awesome thing that is to say. Well, love himself walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Love himself was present at the fall. He didn't cause the fall. But he had a certain covenant he made with man at the fall. When you see that in the Bible where it says God called and said, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that he didn't know where he was physically. He lost communion with him. That's, you're not in my heart anymore. We're not united anymore. We're not one. Adam, where are you? You're not in my heart anymore. Think about that. I can't walk with you anymore. I can't share my love with you. The great loss that God suffered there because of one decision. But what did he do? Immediately, he made clothes for them. He made covenant. He cut blood. Blood was shed. And he told Satan, there's one coming. One coming. He's going to bruise your head. How does that happen? His foot's on you. You're going to bruise his heel because you're under there. That cross was a bruised heel. But he's going to bruise your head. And Satan knew that. So he spent centuries trying to find out this one that was coming. And he couldn't. We see how dynamic that was after Jesus arrived as that baby. That as wise men came 2 years later. They weren't not there at the birth. They came 2 years later. You can see that in the scriptures. Very plain. He goes to Herod. They talk to Herod. And right after they leave, what does Herod do? He asks, how long ago was this? And he says about 2 years. You know, he asked the astrologers and the wise men when this took it, when did the star appear? You know, about 2 years. It's been about 2 years. Well, that was the age of Jesus at that time, about 2 years. So he went out, he sent his people out, and they killed every baby, every man child, 2 years and younger, throughout all of Israel, trying to get to Jesus. That was the devil doing that. They got to stop him. But he can't. Love is in the earth.
Amen.
And that's the first message those angels said at the birth. There's peace now between God and man. Peace. My peace is here. So just think about that. God made covenant. Then we see love himself making covenant with Abraham. Making covenant with Abraham because of the God that searched for centuries for a man that would believe him. And he found Abraham. There was no Israel, because Israel was inside of Abraham. But God was going to create a people for himself. And it had to be through a man. He couldn't have created a people any other way. It had to come through man. So he had to have a man that would allow himself to believe God and to be used of God and to have faith in him. So here's Abraham. And he created Israel through Abraham, and ultimately us, the church. So God, love himself, made covenant with Abraham. Love himself told Moses to tell the Israelites, I am sent me. Tell them I am sent me. I am. Or you could say, tell them love sent me. Tell them love sent me. Because that's actually what happened. Love was sending Moses as his love representative. That's what that burning bush was for. It was love trying to get the attention of Moses so Moses could be sent as love to Israel. Love himself brought Israel out of Egypt. Why? Because he left them. Well, as he brought Egypt out, Israel out of Egypt, in God's heart, he was bringing man back to him. It was a process that had to happen before the cross could happen. It couldn't happen any other way. The cross had to happen, or man could not come back. And in order for the cross to come, to be there, Israel had to leave Egypt. This is all connected. It's connected from the very beginning all the way through the end. There is no dividing point here. There's no separation. It's all one thing. God's heart bringing his people back to him. That's all it is. So love himself gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Here's love giving commandments to Israel. Why? Because it's the only way they could walk in love. The Ten Commandments are love. They're love issued. They're things that man, not to govern man in a way that they just box him up and couldn't do anything. That's what they saw, taking the fun out of life. No, these are love commandments that we have to walk in. Ultimately, now, since the cross, we have one commandment, and that's love, which encompasses all of the Ten Commandments and the prophets. So Jesus said, well, there's only one commandment. Well, it was actually two, love your neighbor as yourself. But love is the commandment. Love is the source. Love is the reason he does everything. So love is the reason for the Ten Commandments. Don't read them as laws. Read them as love issues. Read them through the eyes of love. That's what he was telling Israel. This is the way you love. This is what you have to do to walk with me. Because the cross hasn't happened yet. You're going to have to do this way, for me to do something for you. To allow me to work in your life. This is what you're going to have to do. There's no other way for you to do it, for me to do it. You have to do this. For me to manifest myself the way I want to, in and through you. For you to be the nation you're called to be. You have to be different than the rest of the world. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling us today. You cannot live like the world and be my representatives to the world. So love himself gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Love himself parted the Red Sea. Why? Because it was boxing his people in. Now he could have destroyed Pharaoh and his army anytime he wanted to. But there has to be some other things that are showing. He had to show his power. He had to be their way where there was no way. Love himself parted the Red Sea. Love himself came in the flesh as a baby Jesus. Don't just see a baby, see love. Love wrapped up in swaddling clothes in a barn. That's the only way he could come. Love himself walked with the disciples and performed all the miracles. As every step that Jesus took, love took that step. Every miracle that Jesus did, love did that miracle. Every prayer that Jesus prayed, love prayed that prayer. Love hung on the cross. Love went to hell. Love was raised from the dead. Love came in the form of the Holy Spirit. We're celebrating that today on the day of Pentecost. We're celebrating. I was praying here last night with a few of us as we prayed, and I was walking back there praying by myself, and I just thought about Pentecost, and actually this thought came to me, and the more I think about it, the more awesome I think it is. You know, we see the wind, sudden wind coming on the day of Pentecost. We see all the miracles, and we talk about the talking in tongues and the message that went out and all the things that happened because of the day of Pentecost. But we miss something, I think. We concentrate on that. But the word says that there were 120 people in one heart and one accord. What's that mean? How do you get into one heart and one accord? Love has to be present there. You have eliminated the things that separated you. Now you're in love with one another. So love came as one heart with 120 people of one heart. No strife, no nothing. That in and of itself is a miracle. But then what does God do? Love comes forth in manifestation as the Holy Spirit came. That was a manifestation of love itself. The Holy Spirit does not want to point himself out. He wants to point God out. When those 120 came together in love, God had to respond. As I mentioned last night, in Genesis, we see God and man walking together as one. Throughout all of time from the fall to that moment, there had never been a time when God could really manifest his love to man till that moment. Because man was never in one heart and one accord with him. First time. Think about it from God's angle of view. The first moments since Adam fell that God could manifest the fullness of who he is. Because man finally came together in one heart. Think about that. All of this time, God's been working for this moment. Even at the cross, that hadn't happened. Jesus was the only one that was in that place of self-sacrifice and loving the Father and loving man so much that he gave his own life for them. Showing and revealing the very heart of the Father on that cross for man. And now, finally, here's a group of men, women too, 120. They finally come together as one heart. From there comes the church, the body of Christ. Oh, that's awesome when you think about that. I'd never thought about that before till last night. That was love in manifestation. The very presence of God for the first time since the fall. In that depth, in that way, that his heart could finally come forth. I'm going to have to quit here in just a moment. I'm going to make these few statements and then we'll start there next time. Love himself came in the flesh as the baby Jesus. Love himself walked with the disciples and performed the miracles. Love himself washed the feet of the disciples, including Judas. And Jesus knew he was going to betray him. He's washing Judas's feet, knowing full well. And Judas knew at that moment too that he was going to betray. What went through his mind? Love himself hung on the cross for us, took all of our sins and the entire price for us. Love himself now dwells inside all born again children of God. As he is, so are we in this world. Love himself is coming again. Love himself is coming again. Again, love is the point of all origin. Love, this is going to be an awesome study. We're going to get into the depths of some of those statements and just let the Holy Spirit show us his love letter to us. Amen. Have you ever read a letter and you read it one time and you go back and read this letter from this person again and you miss something that they said to you and you didn't mean anything to you at first, but you got to thinking about it. So you read it again and you saw something else that you didn't see before. That's the way the Word is. The more you read it, the more in love you get with God's Word, the stronger it gets. The more you study love, the more you walk in love. The more you walk in love, the closer to the Father you are, the less you're concerned about the problems and issues of life. They're still there. You'll still walk through them, but they'll be a lot shorter duration, the problems will be. And you're walking through with the answer. I mean, that's, if you're going to have a problem, walk through with the answer to the problem. You know, if you're going to walk through it without God, well, you're on your own. I've been there. But actually, you're still going to have the problem. But you will avoid a lot of them if you're walking in love, because if you're walking in love, as he is, so are we, if you're actually walking the love walk, you will avoid strife. And if you avoid strife, what happens to your marriages? What happens to the people that were your enemies? Where's depression at? It's gone. It's no longer there. There's nothing to be depressed about because the lover is in the house.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to share today your heart. Father, thank you for revealing your heart to us. Thank you for this awesome day of Pentecost, Lord, when you were able to pour your heart out upon your people. Lord, we look forward to an awesome time in the future because we know you're coming again. You're coming for your family. But Lord, you've made us a light to this world. And Father, since your word says, as he is, so are we in this world, teach us, show us, cause us to be that light to this hurting world so that many, many, many more people can come into the kingdom of God and experience your awesome love for them, Lord. We thank you for this time, and we look forward to next week. We thank you for the services that are ahead.